The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Well, good morning, everybody. Wow. What a privilege it is to be here with you this morning, to have this opportunity to just worship with you and be part of this service. It's good to see you. Some familiar faces and some faces that that are new to me, and so it's nice to meet you this morning. Well, I've been looking forward to this morning for a long time, ever since I was invited, and just been excited about spending this time with you today. I want to just say thank you to Pastor Dan and to Pastor Jordan and to Wilma and really the rest of the team here for just the opportunity to be with you this morning. You know what, I've been thinking of what it's going to feel like just to stand up here this morning, and just standing here right now, it actually brings back a lot of memories for me. My family, we moved and became part of this church when I was 13 years old. So I'm one of those kids that grew up in the youth group here at this church. I have many lifelong friends that were formed here when I was part of Crossroads Church. I was part of the Crosswalk Worship Nights. I don't know if any of you remember that. That felt like a really long time ago. Crosswalk Worship Nights. You know, this church is the place where I heard God calling me into full-time ministry as a pastor. I didn't grow up thinking I'd ever be a pastor, but it was as I was here at Crossroads Church that God made that clear to me, and now I can't imagine doing anything else. I can actually remember leading worship for the very first service we ever had in this building, and I just remember that was just a wonderful morning. I've been mentored. My life's been really poured into by people like Pastor Ken Lehman, and I saw Ken come in here, and Pastor Dan, and lots of other people here at the church, and they still pour themselves into me, and I'm so grateful for that. I probably could share the whole day just telling you stories about my time here. Those were some of the best years of my life, really, and whenever I'm here, it kind of feels like home when I come here to Crossroads, and so thank you for that. I still pray for Crossroads Church, and I still cheer for Crossroads Church, and I'm still blessed by the ministry of this wonderful church. And I wanted to say thank you to you guys. Thank you to Crossroads Church because of your example through this really challenging time of COVID. From a distance, I've been watching the ways that your church has responded. I've been learning from that. My church has been learning from that. I visit with a lot of other pastors in central Alberta, and we've all been kind of watching you and learning from you as you've responded. We've watched the ways that you have continued to love your neighbors and serve your community, the way you've focused on Christ and continue to just teach God's word week after week. Well, I think it's been about 10 years since I've spoken here at Crossroads. It's been a while ago. So some of you that would maybe know me from then or remember me from when I was younger, some of you, I know what you're thinking as you are watching me right now. You're all asking yourself, what happened to his hair? What happened to this guy's hair? I already had someone make a joke about my hair here this morning. Well, like I said, it's been about 10 years, and I'm an Oilers fan, and the last 10 years haven't been going very good if you're an Oilers fan. So we've been pulling out our hair for about a decade. That's part of it. And then the other thing is that my wife, Coralie, and I, we've been raising two kids, and that's made me lose a little bit of hair too. I actually brought a picture here with me to show you a picture of my family. This is my wife and my two kids. As you can tell, we've done a great job teaching our kids how to honor their father and mother. And so, that's good. But I'm really blessed to be married to Coralie, and we have two kids, Riley and Haley. We live in Carstairs, Alberta, as you heard, where I'm really privileged to serve as the lead pastor at Bethel Church. We're starting our 9th year there at the church, and it's just a great church. It's a great group of people, a great community. We love the mission, the ministry opportunities that God's given us there. Well, I wanted to start this morning by telling you a story. I want to tell you the true story of a man whose name is Fabio Chavez. Fabio Chavez is a man who is originally from Argentina, but back in the year 2008, he had the opportunity to visit the country of Paraguay. And as he traveled around Paraguay, he was shocked to see the poor living conditions of so many young children in that country. He couldn't believe it. He saw hundreds of orphan children living and sleeping in the landfills and in the garbage dumps of Paraguay. Children as young as 4 or 5 years old would spend their days just scrounging around in the garbage, just looking for some food to eat or looking for something that they could maybe sell for a little bit of money. So Fabio Chavez, he saw all of this. He saw all that was going on, and he couldn't believe that no one was doing anything about it. And so he decided that he should do something about it. And so Fabio Chavez, he's a musician. He's a music guy. And so he did the only thing that he really knew how to do. He decided to open up a music school for these children in Paraguay. And he invited all those children that were living in these landfills and in these garbage dumps to come and be part of his music school. And many of them, they were eager to go. They wanted to do that, but they didn't own any of their own musical instruments. These kids, they didn't have any musical instruments, but these kids, they could find almost anything in those garbage dumps and in those landfills. And so Fabio Chavez, he taught them how to search through the garbage to find anything that could be made into a musical instrument. And the children, they caught on quickly, and within no time, they were building a cello out of an old oil can and some old cooking utensils. They were building a flute from some tiny little cans that they found. They built a drum set with some old X-ray pictures as the drum skins. They built a violin from a beat-up old aluminum salad bowl. Can you believe it? There's a picture of this group here now. So Fabio Chavez, he taught these children how to play their new instruments that they had built, that they had created. They began to perform concerts for people in their community. They called themselves the Landfill Harmonic Orchestra. And for several years now, this music school has given these poor children value and belonging and hope. The Landfill Harmonic, they've recorded a few CDs. They've gone on a tour. You can go and watch them on YouTube if you're interested. Fabio Chavez, he has this great quote, a really good quote. One time he said this. He said, "The world sends us garbage, and we send back beautiful music." It's not good. The world sends us garbage, and we send back beautiful music. You know, we live in a throwaway kind of a culture. Once something becomes broken, once something becomes damaged, we usually just throw it away. We buy something new. We don't like things that are broken because they don't do what they're supposed to do. They're not useful to us. They've kind of lost their value. So we just throw them away, right? If it's broken, then it's garbage. We throw away a lot of broken things, and then we fill our lives up with the new thing that catches our eye. We get the new thing that might make us happy, right? You know, when Jesus was on earth, he would often take everything that we think we know about happiness, and then he'd completely flip it right upside down. There was one time when Jesus was gathered together with a group of his followers. They were up on the side of a mountain together, and he sat down there and he began to teach them. He started to teach them about the way that things work in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. We call this the Sermon on the Mount. You can find the whole sermon in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5-7. And Jesus started out this sermon by talking about some of those hidden blessings. Those hidden blessings that can be discovered in the parts of life that we usually just want to throw away. Those parts of life that we want to avoid, those parts of life that we just would rather just toss off to the side. We don't have time to look at the whole sermon here this morning, but I'd like to look more closely at just one verse from that sermon with you, right at the beginning of his sermon in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Here's what Matthew 5, verse 3 says to us. It says, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Other Bible translations from what I read from say things like, "God blesses those who are hopeless." God blesses those who are at the end of their rope. God blesses those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You know, when Jesus uses the word poor, or the words poor in spirit here, he isn't talking about people who don't have a lot of money or people who don't have a lot of possessions. He's talking about something different than that, a different type of poverty. He's actually talking about all of us, about each one of us, about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about every person that you rub shoulders with as you walk through this next week. Jesus is using the word poor, the words poor in spirit, to describe every single person on earth, every single person on earth, poor in spirit. He wants us to remember our position as we stand before a holy God. Because of sin, we are all poor. We're all needy. We're all powerless before God. On our own, we have nothing to offer him. We're lacking. We don't have what is needed. We don't possess what is needed to save ourselves. To be poor in spirit, as the words Jesus used there, means to be spiritually powerless, spiritually needy, spiritually bankrupt before God. So what do we usually call someone who's poor? What do we usually call somebody who's bankrupt? Well, we usually say they're broke, right? They've gone broke. They're broke. So on our own, we are all spiritually broke before God. We're all poor in spirit because of sin. Because of sin in our life, because of the consequences of sin. Normally, we wouldn't even think that there's any good news for someone who's poor. We wouldn't think there could be any good news for someone who's gone bankrupt. No one would ever imagine that being broke could actually be a good thing. But here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus has some good news for those who are spiritually broken. Jesus says that there is a place in the kingdom of heaven for spiritually broken people. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. That's some good news. That is good news. It's good news because it's some news that we all need to hear. It's something that we all need. We are all broken people on our own. We are all poor. We are all needy. We are all powerless before God. In Luke chapter 7, we find a story that kind of helps us understand how this works and what Jesus was meaning when he was talking about this. Luke chapter 7 tells us about a time when Jesus went to a dinner party at the home of a Pharisee whose name was Simon. A Pharisee is a religious teacher, someone who taught people about God. And Simon appears to be someone who had everything that a person could ever want. He was wealthy. He was well known. He got to socialize with a lot of powerful people from his community. So Simon was having a party with his wealthy and his powerful friends, and he invited Jesus to come and join them. But once Jesus got there, once Jesus arrived in his house, it became quite clear that Simon didn't really think very much of Jesus. Back then in that culture, it was the common custom for the host to greet his guests with a kiss. He would kiss them on the cheek or kiss them on the hand, but Simon didn't kiss Jesus. A good host back then would wash the feet of their guests or arrange for that to happen when they arrived in the house, but Simon didn't wash the feet of Jesus. A host was expected to offer a few drops of oil for the head of his guests, and Simon didn't offer any oil to Jesus either. All these customs, they might seem kind of strange to us and unusual, but back then these were just common expectations. They were just common courtesy. Whenever you invited someone in your home, these are the things that you would do, but Simon didn't do any of them. From what we see, it becomes kind of clear to us that Simon viewed himself as someone who was rich in spirit. He already had everything that he needed. He didn't need somebody like Jesus in his life. He was already wealthy. He was already famous. He was powerful. He was proud. What could Jesus offer to somebody like Simon the Pharisee? So as this dinner party continued, something actually very shocking happened. Something shocking happened. An uninvited woman showed up at the door of Simon's house. Luke 7 says that this was a lady who was known to live a sinful life. She was known to live a sinful life. That's really just a polite way of saying that that this woman was a prostitute. And with every eye glaring at her, this woman entered into the house and she saw Jesus. And then she started walking toward him. When she got close to Jesus, she did something that was just incredible. She knelt down at his feet, and then she started to cry. In that moment, just kneeling there before Jesus, all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of that brokenness that had ruled over her life, it all just became too much for her. She knew that she needed Jesus more than she needed anything else in this world. And down on her knees, she wept at his feet, completely broken, at the end of herself, bankrupt and powerless, poor and needy. She came completely undone. And the tears just rolled down her cheeks as she knelt before the only one that could save her life. Everyone else in the room was ready to toss her out. They wanted to throw her outside with the rest of the garbage. And who knows, if we were there that day, maybe we would have responded that way too. But Jesus didn't push her away, didn't do that at all. In this woman who had been used, this woman who had been called names and looked down on, this woman who had been rejected, Jesus saw somebody who was beautiful. She was beautifully broken in the eyes of Jesus. And as tears rolled down her cheeks and as they fell off her cheeks and onto the feet of Jesus, they left streaks of dirt on his unwashed feet. She didn't have a towel with her, and Simon wasn't about to offer her one. So she put down her hair and let her hair come down, and she used her own hair to wash and to clean and to dry off the feet of Jesus. And then after that, she did something that was even more amazing. She opened up a container of perfume that she had with her, and she poured out that entire container of perfume onto the feet of Jesus. That perfume that she had with her, that was a necessity for her line of work. She needed this perfume for her occupation. She had used this perfume one drop at a time. She had used this perfume one man at a time. But now she poured out the whole container. She wasn't going to need that perfume anymore. She came to Jesus broken and needy and powerless, and Jesus met her there. And then he offered her his transforming love and his grace and his forgiveness. When you read this story, when you hear this story told to you, it becomes very clear. It's obvious that this woman was someone who was poor in spirit. She was broken. She was needy. She was powerless as she bowed down and knelt there before Jesus. But this woman wasn't the only broken person in this story. Simon the Pharisee was a broken man too. Simon had studied the scriptures since he was a child. He would have memorized entire books of the Bible. He had studied over 300 prophecies about the coming Messiah. And now the Messiah was standing there in his house, and Simon didn't recognize him. Simon had built up his life on his wealth and on his reputation, on his knowledge, his image, his position, his legalistic rules. But he couldn't recognize the depths of his own spiritual poverty, his desperate need for Jesus. He was blind to that. So Simon's arrogance received a rebuke from Jesus. Jesus rebuked Simon, but then he gave this poor and powerless woman a life-changing blessing. Jesus told her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." God blesses those who are poor and recognize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So the Bible tells us this story of these two broken people, a Pharisee named Simon and an unnamed prostitute. But each one of us, each one of us, we have our own stories of brokenness too. On our own, before God, we're all broken people. We're all spiritually needy. We're all powerless. We're poor in spirit because of sin, those wrong things that we've done, those right things that we've failed to do, our hidden secrets, our private behaviors, our selfish attitudes, our hardened hearts. We're all poor in spirit. We're all broken before God. But instead of rejecting us, instead of throwing us away, instead of pushing us off to the side, God offers us his love and his mercy and his blessing. He offers us salvation and hope through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, because of Jesus, we can turn toward God in our brokenness, and he will always welcome us. He'll always welcome us into the riches of his salvation and forgiveness and grace. God has a place in his kingdom for spiritually broken and needy people. This woman in Luke chapter 7, she experienced this, but Simon the Pharisee, he didn't. This woman was made whole through Jesus Christ, but Simon remained broken. And if we're being honest with each other today, then I think we could all admit that there's a little bit of Simon the Pharisee inside each one of us. We don't really want to acknowledge how broken we really are. We want to save ourselves through our own efforts, through our own works, through our own religion. We like to act like we are rich in spirit. We don't want to submit to anyone. We don't want to serve anyone. We don't want to bow down to somebody else. We're all broken people. We all need Jesus. You know, without Jesus, broken people, they act and they live in broken ways. In our brokenness, we can ignore the needs of other people around us, and then we can get really upset when our needs aren't being met, when someone doesn't help us in the ways we want. In our brokenness, we can build our lives on money. We can choose crippling burdens of financial debt just to try to keep up an image that might impress some other people. In our brokenness, we can hurt. We can cause hurt to the people that we love the most. We can hurt them with our words. We can hurt them with our choices and with our behavior. In our brokenness, we turn to all kinds of things. We turn to pornography. We gossip. We lie. We're greedy. We're proud. We drink too much. We put other people down. We're filled up with jealousy. We do all those things that we shouldn't do, and we don't do the things that we should do. But I want you to know today, I'm here to tell you that God has good news for broken people. In Matthew 5, verse 3, Jesus said that in God's kingdom, the poor have value. The powerless, they're given purpose. The needy are welcomed. The broken are made beautiful. God transforms broken people, and then he uses them. He uses them to display the glory of Christ's forgiveness and salvation and grace. Now, as I was preparing for this morning with all of you and just looking forward to this time, God just started to remind me of my own story. As I was reflecting on Matthew 5, verse 3, I couldn't help but recognize those times when I found myself powerless and needy and broken and desperate for the help that only Jesus can provide. God reminded me of what being poor in spirit has meant in my life. And to be honest, it's not very pleasant for me to remember that. There have been many times in my life where I expected God to give up on me, to toss me away, to turn his attention to somebody else. But he never has. He never has. He continually offers me his love when I've failed and when I'm broken and those times when I turn away from him and turn towards sin. You know, this last week, God reminded me of a very specific memory from my time working here at Crossroads Church. back then, some of you knew me. I was in my mid-20s, into the late 20s, I guess. And from the outside, a lot of things looked really good. My ministry here was growing, was going really well. I had a lot of good friends. Things were going pretty good in my life. But under the surface, I was a broken person. In my private life, in my inner life, I had made some choices. I was disobeying God. I was living for myself. I was hurting other people, and I was making some harmful choices. I remember I just knew that I wasn't in a good place, and I realized how that was harming me and others. And so I actually asked Pastor Dan if we could meet together and have a conversation. And in that meeting, I pulled back the curtain of my life, and I talked about some things that I hadn't really shared with anyone else. I pulled back the curtain to reveal some of those areas of shame and sin in my life. And as I met with Pastor Dan, I confessed some of those really ugly failures and shortcomings, my brokenness. When I was done speaking, I was fully prepared to hear about his disappointment in me and thought he may even ask me to resign and step away from my job here at the church. But he didn't say anything like that to me. Instead, he started to talk to me about God's forgiveness and God's grace for broken people. We prayed together, and I asked God in that prayer to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, oh God. And after we were done, you know, Dan, you said some things that I've said that you won't forget. You said something to me that I've never forgotten. After we were done praying and had shared together, Dan said to me, he said, Kelly, I want you to know that all of this is done and dealt with in my mind. From now on, whenever I look at you, I won't be thinking of those things that you shared with me today. I won't bring them up with you ever again unless you want to bring them up with me, and then we can talk about them more together. You know, that conversation took place almost 20 years ago. But I could still point to the exact place that I was sitting in his office when he said those words to me. Those words were life-changing for me. They were life-giving for me. I've never forgotten them. And from there on, God began this process of healing and kind of growing me into some new behavior in my own life. I learned a lot about God's grace for broken people from that conversation with Pastor Dan. And it means a lot for me today to just tell that story and to say thank you to you today, Dan. I think maybe, Dan, do I owe you a toonie? Does that still work? He used to have this thing where if he told a story about you, he'd owe you a toonie. So I think I owe you a toonie. You know, before I move on, actually, there's one more part to this story that I should tell you. Since that day sitting in Pastor Dan's office almost 20 years ago, I've had a lot of people have come and sat with me in my office. I've sat with dozens and dozens of people who have pulled back the curtain of their lives and confessed some of their ugly failures and their shameful shortcomings with me. They've come and talked about their broken marriages or their addictions or their sexual sin, their mistakes that they're still dealing with from the past. And I've spent a lot of time with broken people. And guess what I say to them now? Well, I tell them about God's forgiveness. I tell them about God's grace for broken people. And then we pray together. And we ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, oh God. And then when we're done, I say to them, I want you to know that all this is done and dealt with in my mind. And from now on, whenever I look at you, I won't be thinking about these things. All these things that you shared with me today. I won't bring them up with you ever again. Unless you want to bring them up with me, and then we can talk about them some more. There's a place in the kingdom of heaven for broken people. And I know that this is true because God has a place in his kingdom for me. And he's also made a place in his kingdom for you. God is so good. God blesses those who are poor and recognize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So do you remember what being poor in spirit has looked like in your life? Do you remember what being spiritually needy and powerless before God, do you remember what that's meant in your story? Do you remember those times when you felt broken, when you felt powerless before God? Do you remember how Jesus met you there? Do you remember how he began to restore and rebuild and repair your broken life? And then he began to bless you beyond what you could have ever hoped for, beyond what you could have ever even imagined could be possible. That's the promise of Matthew 5, verse 3. If you're here today, if you're listening and your life feels broken, then turn to Jesus. Let him start to do his good work for you. Talk to somebody here at this church. Pray with somebody. Let God take your brokenness and begin to create something beautiful that brings glory to him. I want to show you just one last thing before I finish off. Back in the 1500s, a group of Japanese artists developed a way to repair some broken pottery through a restoration process that they called kintsugi. These artists would take the shattered and the broken pieces of a bowl or a cup or a plate that had fallen and it had broken into a bunch of pieces, and then they would form all those pieces back together with melted gold. Instead of just throwing away something that was broken, instead of just tossing to the side something that had lost its value, these artists, they learned how to restore it. They learned how to make it useful and valuable again. You know, usually if you go into a store and you see something that's been broken or something that's been damaged, then the price is marked down. It's kind of no longer valuable. But that's not the case with this kintsugi kind of property, or pottery, I mean. Many of these pieces of pottery are even more beautiful now than they were originally. Their value has increased exponentially. Something that was broken has been made into a treasure. And according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, God's kingdom works that same way. The broken, the poor, the needy, the powerless, they are all valuable. They are all beautiful to God. Our broken lives can be made whole through Jesus. Because of Jesus, we belong to God and we belong to his kingdom. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's when Jesus can restore and renew our lives. Jesus loves the broken. He cares for the needy. He blesses the poor in spirit. And he demonstrated this when he took our sin and he took our brokenness upon himself on the cross so that you and I can be healed, so that you and I can be made whole by his grace. Psalm 51 says, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You'll not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." In the eyes of God, there's beauty in brokenness. And praise be to God that this is true. And thanks be to Jesus for the work he does in our lives. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. Let's pray together as we finish off this message. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for this church and for these people. Lord, I pray your blessing on them, that, Lord, you'd continue to walk with each one of us during this challenging and difficult time that we find ourselves in. And Lord, as I've been speaking, I trust and I expect that there's ways that you've been speaking to people's hearts too and reminding us of those areas of brokenness in our own lives and our need for you again. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd guide us in our response now to come to you, to come to you, to pull back the curtain of those areas of our life that need attention from you. That, Lord, you would do your good work of creating a clean heart in us and renewing a right spirit in us. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus and for for the way that he transforms our brokenness into something that can display the beauty of God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's salvation. Thank you for this morning. God, would you continue to speak to our hearts and go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.